Blog Talk Radio.
There must be lights burning brighter somewhere. Got to be birds flying higher in a sky more blue. If I can dream of a better land where all my brothers walk hand in hand, tell me why, oh why, oh why can't my dream come true? Oh why? There must be peace and understanding sometime. Strong winds of promise that will blow away all the doubt and fear. If I can dream of a warmer sun where hope keeps shining on everyone, tell me why, oh why, oh why won't that sun appear?
Morning, everybody. It's Marcia Cook. And it's Good Story is a Good Story, and it's Monday, which is Virginia's day usually, but she's taking off for a few weeks, and so we have me, but we're doing a Good Story is a Good Story. I'm also doing one tomorrow night. Today we have two great guests, and we're going to be talking about young adult, children's authors, and magazines for children. It's going to be a great show, but tomorrow we have the first show actually for our new show. Tomorrow night is Tuesday, right? So that's my Good Story is a Good Story. But we're having Joanna Lee Doster, Ashley Fontaine, and myself are the hosts of Girls Night Out. It's a special show that we're going to have once a month about different topics. And Willow Cross, she's a host at World of Ink, which we all know. And she does paranormal, but she had written the book Letting It Go. And this is going to be a great show. We're not going to be really promoting books as we always do. We're going to be talking about issues. Then the first issue is, you know, men leaving women for other women. And we're going to also be talking about how a woman survives in this world and what she can do to make herself strong so she can handle whatever she has to handle, which we all know women do. Men are also invited to call in if they want. We're not saying it's just a woman's show, but it's called Girls Night Out, and the number to call in would be 714-242-5259, which is the same number you can call in today if anybody would like to speak to us. And so that's for tomorrow. And so we'll be discussing a little more about the other shows tomorrow. But today I want to get our guests on. And we have two really wonderful women here that have a lot of kids between them, so they do know about children, Doreen White and Larissa White-Rays. And so let's say hello to them. Hi, Doreen. Hi, Larissa.
Hi, Marcia.
Hello, Marcia.
How are you? All right, I'm going to let you each talk about yourself. And, you know, for whatever you want to say is fine with me. So, all right, Larissa.
Yes. Okay. Well, so you want me to tell a little bit about myself?
Yeah, just a little bit about yourself so they know who
sure.
you are.
Sure. Well, in a nutshell, I am a published author of two children's books, The Rock of Ivanor and The Last Enchanter. They're both fantasy novels, kind of like Lord of the Rings for kids. And my third novel is a young adult novel. It's a thriller called Contact. And it comes out next week, so I'm really excited about that.
It's very exciting, I know. This is why we're on. You're on today, too. It's going to be with Hallowed Ink Press, which is a friend of ours.
Yes. And they're a new publisher, so we're really excited about everything they're going to be doing. I'm also the editor-in-chief of a digital children's book review magazine called Middle Shelf Magazine. I have a lot of kids. I have five kids. I'm a mom.
Right. And this is your sister-in-law that's coming on next, right, Doreen? Hi, Doreen.
Hi.
And you have a few kids there yourself.
I do. I have six kids. I am married to Lori's brother. So we're all sisters.
That's very nice.
Well, I grew up back east in Maryland and met my husband at college, and I've always loved books. I love reading books. And so I got into writing books, and right now I've written two published children's novels in the same series. It's called, the first is The Emerald Ring, and the second is The Ruby Pendant. And then I'm also going to branch out a little into some YA hopefully soon.
Yeah,
but, yeah, six kids, and I also do reviews for Middle Shelf Magazine as one of the associate editors, so I have a lot of fun doing that.
Oh, that's great. All right, so you both are very, very busy. We could see that, and summertime, the kids are off. Right? Maybe I should say who I am. I am a partner of the World of Ink Network, and Virginia Grenier is my partner, and she's at Utah. She lives in Utah, and she also has shows. We sometimes have shows together, and we'll be doing more shows together very soon. She does a lot of blog tours and things like that, and she's also an author. And I am an author, a writing coach, and I'm an agent, and I'm a host. And so if anybody has any questions, they can always reach me at Michigan Avenue Media or World of Ink. And then at the end of the show, we will talk about, you know, I will give the links for the two women that we have on, Doreen and Larissa, but they are, the pictures are on Blog Talk Radio, and I also have on my blog, For a Good Story is a Good Story, .blogspot.com, and it's a little bit about them, and some of their books are on there, and I'll probably be adding more. So I think, we're going to probably talk about a lot of subjects, and if anybody has any questions, I'm opening up the chat room, and we have a lot of things scheduled, and I think I'm on tomorrow, and then we have Saturday night Bennett is on, and we have a lot of shows on Blog Talk Radio, and we have a lot of different hosts, and you'll enjoy yourself. Maybe tomorrow we'll talk a little bit about that, but today... Okay, so here we go. All right. Now, I wanted to just ask you a question about the middle shelf, Larissa.
Sure.
What do you like submissions regularly, or are they taking that, or do you have the same people that are writing in, you know, that are doing your stories for you?
Well, we have a staff, including myself, and we have several book reviewers on staff. We don't accept submissions per se, because what we do is we include interviews of authors, and we also include book excerpts and reviews and spotlights as well. And the way we find those is publishers, all kinds of publishers, from self-published authors to small presses to the large publishers like Random House and Penguin, and they will send me samples of their books that are coming out, and I take a careful look at everything that I see. I also browse the internet and look at all the websites of the publishers and authors and see if I can spot books that really catch my interest. And then we choose which books we want to include in the magazine. The goal of the magazine is to help kids find their next favorite book. Exactly. And because children, particularly middle grade kids, the magazine's for ages 8 to 14, a lot of times the only books they're exposed to are the books that they are handed by a teacher or a librarian, and sometimes their parents, but they don't have a lot of access to the wide variety of books that are being published out there every month. And so we're trying to shine a spotlight on those titles that deserve to be seen, deserve to be read, but that you may not hear about otherwise.
That's a great idea, because you know what? That's really true. You know, I mean, the internet has brought so many people to the market, but the problem is how do you find the good ones? It's almost impossible. You know, I myself have been always selling them on Amazon, and I am self-published, have gone with publishers, but now smaller publishers, but now I'm by my, you know, on Michigan Avenue is doing it. But, you know, it's like, you have to get reviews. You have to put yourself out there. I think I may start selling them on my site only because I have a lot of people either coming to my websites, and for them to have to go on Amazon, it's so confusing already. I mean, if you go on, because when you don't have yourself, which a lot of authors don't, in the right genre, because it's almost impossible to do that, because there's not as many categories as there are different styles of writing.
That's true. That's very true.
So what
and
would you say to people?
So
I mean, how would you tell
there.
People to categorize their books? Because that's hard.
Well, in the children's book industry, it's pretty easy. There's really only three broad categories. There's picture books. Well, excuse me, there's four. Picture books, chapter books, middle grade, and young adult. And those four categories pretty much encapsulate everything. And then genre is another matter. Wouldn't you agree, Doreen?
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Fantasy, mystery.
And Doreen, like, you're reviewing books, so
I do.
So how many do you like? Because you're also busy. I mean, I'm like thinking, you know, because I do a lot of things also. It is hard, but children's books, naturally, it's a lot easier than reviewing, you know, adult books. But the YA books are you know, a lot more pages. But how do you fit all this in, and how many do you do at a time, and what do you look for, Doreen, when you're looking for a good book to tell?
Well,
you know,
I have two different review avenues. I have my blog, which is DoreenWhite@blogspot.com, where I do, on Mondays, I do middle grade reviews, and on Fridays, I do YA reviews.
Oh, good idea.
And then I also do them for Lori for Middle Shelf Magazine. But I tend to read avidly, so I probably read about 4 books a week, and just fitting it in where I can, or if I'm exercising on my bike, you know, I have the book up there and I'm reading it. And
So can people send you the, do you want e-books, or do you?
Yes. Well, I do, if I have a Nook, so if people can send EPUBs, that's best.
Okay, you know what, could you do me a favor, after the show, will you send me some of your links, and I'll put them out, you know,
sure.
Because, they, I mean, people are looking for reviews. I mean, I'm included in that because, you know, it's very hard for me to, like, ask for people that I know for reviews. So I've been starting now to just go in and, you know, because I've had a lot of authors on, so I sometimes don't want to do that. So I keep finding people, and I have a bad habit of you guys don't know this, but I change my titles, I change the covers, and I'm trying not to do that because I did that, then I put it back, and then you lose all your reviews when you do that sometimes.
Oh, yes.
Amazon takes, you can't put, like if I have them, I can't put them on Amazon because it looks like I put them on.
Yeah,
so I can't do that. And that happens to people a lot. So that's why I'll put, you know, I'm looking for, you know, Virginia Grenier and myself, we're looking to do that more because a lot of the people that were doing things before for children are not doing them now. You know, they've stopped. Wow. They're out of the business. Because this is tough, children's. I mean, it really is. It's very hard.
It's very hard to find people to review books and even to promote books in middle grade.
Yeah,
it is.
Yeah.
It is. Yeah. For example, the online blog reviews, which have become very popular, particularly young adult books, there's hundreds of blogs out there that review young adult books on a regular basis. There are just slightly over 100 blogs altogether that will consider middle grade. They're not even, most of them are not even strictly middle grade reviewers. So the numbers are just much smaller.
And a lot of them come and go.
Yeah, see, that's what's happening.
Quickly.
They're coming and going, right. And, you know, and what I see, which I will not, everybody's begging people for reviews. They're offering gifts. They're offering them, iPads and, you know, yeah. And, you know, it's kind of like taking all of the fun of writing away. Because, you know, when you love to write and you have to start doing this is very bad for that. You know, it really does. It makes you, you know, change some of your views and you're, you know, while you're writing, you're going like, well, am I going to get reviews? Is this going to be a waste for me? Am I going to be on the back shelf, you know, and the libraries don't want you sometimes? So, I mean, this is what's happening to people. That's why I'm so glad you both are on, because you're both doing reviews and you're editing and you have a magazine. And this is what, and you're also writing your own books. This is important because we have to get the young kids writing.
Yes.
And
let me
clarify,
all my reviews are free. I don't accept gifts. And if I like your book, it doesn't matter if it's self-published or our big six publisher, I'll review it.
Yeah, see, that's good. I know. That's very good.
And the reason
why
Doreen and I both, I think we'd agree on this, one reason why we are so passionate about children's books is because we're mothers.
Yeah.
Not only do we love to read books ourselves, but when we start having kids, I know when I started having children, you know, I read to my kids daily out loud from books. I have a massive personal library. And I started, long before I ever had a family of my own, I actually started my career as a young person right out of high school working at a children's bookstore.
Great.
And I fell in love with children's literature. It's just so wonderful. And then when I started having kids, I really wanted to make sure my kids had the best books to read. Mm-hmm. The stories out there are just phenomenal.
Yeah.
And so I write for my kids, and I write for my own enjoyment. And then as I've started getting my books published, I am now reaching out to other people's children, you know. I go to schools on a regular basis, I visit elementary schools and middle grade schools all over Southern California and try to share the message that books are fun.
Yeah.
Stories are can be entertaining but also inspiring. So
you can give a subtle message in a book, with a children's book, without really shouting it out. You can, some good facts about life, or, you know, just things about brothers and sisters, just different things. I worked in a pediatric office for years. I was a lab tech, and I love kids. It's the best audience. When I started writing children's books and I got to go out, I haven't done it as much because sometimes they're not letting a lot of the authors come to the schools anymore because it presents a problem, because then they have to have a program. And really, this is a bad thing in a lot of ways because the kids love to talk to authors.
It's true. They love it.
My favorite
thing
are author visits. I'm up here in Washington, and I love to go around to the elementary schools and just talk about books and ask the kids what their favorite books are and introduce different genres to them because perhaps they've only read what the teacher's given them, and maybe they didn't like those books. I like to introduce new books to them, fantasies, mysteries, maybe biographies, maybe they're like nonfiction books, but just to let them know there's so many choices that if they don't like one thing, they can find another thing.
There are so many choices. I mean, there really are. And see, that's one of the problems. If you are looking for e-books or, you know, or regular books, when you go on Amazon, it is very confusing to people because sometimes you just aren't, you're only getting a certain amount of books. You're not getting, and some people are not going to skip to, like, to go to the 300, 400, you know, counts. They're looking at the top 10.
Yeah, it's always the same
10.
Ones that pop up. The first five pages are always the same, even if it's a book that's been out for years. It's there. Yeah, the bestsellers.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't get to find the other ones.
That's what happens in the schools, too. The kids are given the little pamphlets that come out, which are wonderful, and they're affordable, but they're very limited as far as the number of titles available. So the kids are only exposed to the bestsellers that are already successful.
Well, they're also exposed
exposed
to Scholastic books and Scholastic choices. And I'd love to be on one of those. It's very hard. You can't even reach them. I would like to have them on the show because Virginia and I would like to definitely have them on the show because I would like to understand why, what they pick and why they don't, you know, pick a lot of others. And, you know, and that's really what you're saying basically is that it's not only Scholastic, but they are just, kids are only seeing what people want them to see sometimes. And there's a ton of other books out there,
well,
you know, that they
the
might want
there.
To read. Yeah, it's
exactly.
Yeah, this could be a problem. All right, we'll go back to this in a little while. I don't want to forget about Hallowed Ink Press. All right, now you went into the young adult, and I know Doreen now is going to go in. I may possibly pop in there for that one. That's a genre I haven't really hit. All right, so tell us about your new adventure with Hallowed. You're the first book out for them.
Yes.
And they're going to be. I know they're going to be good because they're great promoters. Amber does it tours, and she actually is one of the people that I always recommend, the Amber tours, because her book tours, because she actually does what she says. If it's supposed to be out that day, the bloggers put it out that day. And they better put it out that day because she will make sure it's out. I'm one of the people that, you know, blogs. And, you know, for her also to put in, you know, because she has so many people coming to her. And I'm sure you're going to get great PR because they know how to do that. So go ahead. Tell us about the book.
Well, they're fantastic. Working with Hallowed Ink Press, I have been so impressed with them. When I actually sent contact out to publishers, I actually heard back from three different publishers, all small presses, and they were all interested in it, which was exciting for me as an author. I was like, yay.
Yeah.
But I chose to go with Hallowed Ink because first of all, I loved their logo. I just love it. Anyway, but also they were very polite and very professional, and I researched a little bit about the people running the business, and they had the experience behind them that told me that they knew what they were doing.
Yes.
And they had a vision that was very similar to my own, and I was right. They've treated me really well as their first author, and I've been part of the process the whole way. They've included me in a lot of the decision making, and which I really appreciate.
Yeah, that's great.
And so it's now the book's coming out on the 23rd of this month, and which is just about a week away. So it's very exciting. And they're actually announced the they announced their second title, which is coming out, which unfortunately slipped my mind at the moment what it is.
Well, I like
but
the fact that
fantastic.
They're not taking, you know what, I like the fact that they're not taking like 30 authors at one time. They're actually
yes.
wanting to work with the author and try to get them out, which really is a big deal. It matters. It really does,
it does
because
matter.
If you take out 30, you can't do 30 people at the same time. It just can't
mm-hmm.
work. And they
right.
know how to get people out there. I mean, they really do, you know, and that's why I'm sure that it's going to be a successful press because I see how they work. And we do, look, at we do book launches also, but I think that people should go to a few people. That's why I'm always referring to Amber because I think that the more you get for they're not a lot. It's not a lot of money to get yourself a little book tour for $30 or $40, and you meet a whole bunch of different people. It's not the same people that you're going to. And right now, with the way Facebook is, we're all talking to each other in one round circle, and it goes nowhere.
Yep.
And I, you know, I don't know what's happening because they're supposed to be changing things, and on a daily basis, something else has changed. Always. I go into something, I go like, wait a minute. And then they put out all these, you know, they send you emails and, you know, and they're about promoting, but it's not working as it did before.
That's, I just, right. yeah, I sometimes for my stuff, I boost for my, I have a Facebook author page.
I do too.
I'll boost my post. And I always wonder, you know, who's it really going to?
But it was working better before. It's not boosting as much. You know, at the beginning, there were thousands of people.
Yeah.
When you were boosting, but now it's not the same. So I don't know if you have to put more money in or, you know, I think that, you know, I actually probably should try to get them on because it would be good if they could explain what people can do because I think most people don't get it. And I don't either sometimes because they change too fast. And I change a lot of things, but it's still difficult to get your post out there. And people are not sharing.
Yeah, because my friends already know what I'm doing. I need to get the rest of the world to know.
Yeah, do you think the posts are – well, I think that they're not being seen by a lot of people now because I've had people on my show that say, are you still doing a show? And, I mean, I'm, like, posting like crazy. Virginia's, we all are, you know, all of the hosts. And nobody – some people aren't seeing them. So we have to go elsewhere now to do it. Blogger's a
well,
good
I
way. I mean, do you have ideas of what you – what do you do?
What
do you do? They
charge you per click. So I know people see them because they'll charge you, like, 50 cents if someone clicks on your link.
Yeah.
So they'll keep it out there until you use up all the money you set aside.
Yeah, I know.
And so you know people are clicking on it, but I don't know how many
are. But it doesn't go anywhere, though. They're not buying it. They're not sharing it. So they're clicking, but see, that's the problem. Everybody's thinking clicks are good. Clicks and likes are good, but really it, in the real world, it doesn't go anywhere. Is this true?
They need to share.
It's kind of weird, though, I think, you know, because, you know, we're all asking for likes and that really doesn't mean anything when you really think about it because
exactly.
if you – yeah, so how do you – what do you think they should be doing? I mean, because it's liking – you know, I myself now, I'm trying to look at things that before I click to like because I don't even know what it is. I don't want to see what before I say I'm liking it.
Well,
and I think
like
that that's
something.
Not a – yeah, that's not where people actually say if the book is good or not or whatever you're doing.
No,
how do you feel about that?
No, but if they do like it,
yeah.
if they like your page, then whenever you post on that – on your page – it will pop up in their feed. So at least they'll see it.
Yeah, but
you know
but
what I mean?
Because everybody has so many things coming in now, are people paying attention? Mm-hmm. That's the other thing. Because,
yeah, a lot
you know,
of people have thousands of friends and thousands of likes.
I know.
So, see, I'm more particular. So I have, like, only 300 friends. And then my Facebook page is where I do all
but
my offers.
But 300 friends, 300 good friends is better than 2,000 friends that don't even know who you are.
Well, I post about my family and stuff, so I want to make sure that there are people I actually know.
Yeah, but because I don't do that. I just, you know, I'm posting, I don't really post about myself. I post about my books, my shows, I'm sharing other people's work, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes after I spent an hour sharing everybody's, I'm thinking, like, what am I doing? I mean, because I'm like, I could have been writing for an hour. I'm sitting here like an idiot and doing it. Because I sometimes feel like I am an idiot doing it because it doesn't go anywhere. I really don't think a lot of this is working now. So people ask me what works, and I don't really think a lot of this is working.
The only thing out there we have right now.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really hard to find anything, so we just keep, you know, plowing down plowing down the field and hoping that people will see our posts and share them, and hopefully something better will come along soon.
Well, you know, there's Instagram. Do you use Instagram?
Oh, I don't use Instagram because I believe you use a smartphone, and I just got a smartphone for the first time, and my daughter's still trying to teach me how to use it.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, Instagram, though, the only thing is I tried to put it on online, but then along with it came 20 other programs, okay, on my computer. So I took it off because that happens a lot of times. You add one on, and then 20 other different programs comes on because they're, you know, that's how they get in. Some of these programs.
Yeah, I don't have Instagram. I stick to Facebook and Twitter.
Yeah.
Then none of it makes any difference unless it eventually translates into book sales.
Right.
And putting books
exactly.
in the actual hands of the kids
yes.
who are going to read them. And right. what I found, I post and I do the Facebook and I do my blog and it's all fun and everything. And it's nice to reach out to the few people that actually take it seriously and pay attention. But like, even though I have over 2,000 followers, really out of even those, it's just a handful of people that pay attention on a regular basis.
Right.
So the only thing that has really worked successfully for me as a small press published children's book author is literally I go to the schools. I talk to the kids. But even then, that doesn't even work because schools don't always have the budget to purchase books for the kids or what have you. So what I do is I'm really fortunate. I have a bookstore in my hometown, and this one happens to be Barnes & Noble, and the community relations manager there has become my personal best friend.
That's great.
And
you know how good that is?
She arranges.
You know how good that is? That's like,
I'll tell you,
that's
really
like good.
Gold.
Yes.
Because what she does is she connects with the schools on my behalf.
Wow.
And I go
Very
visit
good.
The schools, and I don't charge the schools a fee because so many schools don't have a budget.
Right. I don't charge either.
I'm a nobody at this
right.
point. But then what we do is the bookstore hosts a book fair at the bookstore afterwards. And so the school and the kids and the teachers and everyone comes to the bookstore, and they purchase not just my book, but they'll purchase whatever they want. But I often have lines going to the door to sign books for the kids. And that's the only way, the only success I've had in marketing
my books.
Oh,
yeah, me too. That's right, right. That's
one
where
child
I sold
at
most
a
books.
Time.
I
see, that's it.
School visit.
And it's a lot of work, but it's been worth it.
Oh, I think it's so much fun, and I'm going to do it again. You know, I do a lot of shows, and I'm trying to write, and I do a lot of different things. But the problem is that you're right, it's the sales. And, you know, and I think for children's books, for sure, you have to go out. I don't think it happens online. I mean, occasionally somebody might do very well. But I don't know anybody. I really don't know anybody that's done that well with children's just by doing it online.
Well,
because they don't even have
a,
somebody said to me, everybody has iPads. That's not true. Everybody does not have iPads. Right. And the Kindle Fire, you know, it's great, but a lot of people don't have these. And so I'm trying to explain to people, no, they don't. And there's a lot of adults that don't have them either. I think what's happening is everybody thinks that everybody has them, but they don't.
And children in particular, even all the way up through teens, still prefer to hold a book in their hand when they can.
Yeah.
And now I love e-books because I read e-books and
I
know a lot of teenagers and adults who do. But when the younger you get, the more important it is to have a tangible book. And what has happened is, you know, bookstores are diminishing.
Yes.
There's not as many. Three bookstores within my own community have closed this year.
Yeah.
And it's really heartbreaking because that means there's less shelf space for books to be displayed so kids can go and browse and look through the books and fall in love with them.
Plus, it's hard to get your books into Barnes & Noble.
Exactly. And it is very hard unless you're a
bestseller. Yeah, it's impossible now. It is impossible.
It's a difficult situation all the way around, which is why we're trying to look for other avenues. Middle shelf, I think, I hope over the next couple of years, as middle shelf grows and becomes more visible to schools in particular, that it will become an avenue for kids to be able to do that browsing through
the school
computer.
Well, hopefully middle shelf will be like Scholastic. This is good.
I hope.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I'm going to tell you what, it's not even kidding around. The truth is, okay, when Scholastic sends books for the book fairs, Scholastic sends them in a box, okay? and there's no authors coming with it. That's, you know, that's the box.
That's true.
When an author comes, they're in person, and that is the difference. Because not that the books aren't good, they're great from Scholastic. That's not the problem.
Oh,
the problem
are.
Is the kids don't get to talk to the authors because they just come, and then they have people at a book fair selling it, but not the authors.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
And I've been on the outside in the middle of a book fair where, because I was not from Scholastic, I was outside in the hall and everybody else was in the library. And so this was not great, okay? But it was a good wake-up call, and it was like, okay, fine. But I got to talk to a lot of kids. They were coming out to talk to me and whatever. And they bought books, but I wasn't in the library. And then the next time I went to a certain school that had that, they put me in the library, and then they thought I was the librarian. Then they didn't think I was the author. So I went like, oh, this isn't really great here. So then I stopped doing that for a while, but then I miss it. So that's why I'm grouping, and because I do miss it. I loved it. It was so great talking to kids. They are so fabulous about writing and authors, and they want to write, a lot of them. And they do now in school, they do have books where they start to make their own books. So I think it's so exciting to talk to them, and I think that's what a lot of authors don't realize. They're saying their children's books they're not selling, but they have to go out. And it has to be in a paperback.
And
you cannot have just an e-book. Maybe you can for romance. This is fine, because I've done romance, but I still think a paperback, you need it. And a lot of the small publishers won't give you a paperback until you prove yourself in an e-book. And with a children's book, that is not going to happen.
It's the opposite with children's books.
Yeah.
And I have to say, I actually have done, this last year, I did 2 school visits with Scholastic book fairs.
Yeah.
And I was really fortunate because even though Scholastic does not carry my books per se, I was able to contact our local representative and let her know I'm doing a school visit on the day of your book fair, and she actually ordered my book and had it available at the book fair for Scholastic, and we were had
now,
two
that was
very
great.
Successful
that you have a good
so they,
I tried
they
that
can
out here
be
and it didn't
supportive.
Work.
Yeah, that's it, great.
I think
that?
It depends on who.
Yeah,
what
it is.
School
right.
You're going
it does depend. Doreen, you said you tried that. Didn't work.
I
right?
did, because Lori had mentioned how successful that was. So I had I got contact with the Scholastic representative here, and they just said, no, we don't do that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because I've tried to get them. I'd like to get them on the show. I've tried, but they're not answered.
To move to
but
California,
I would like to have
Doreen.
That's
move to California, then you can back.
Right. Okay.
I would love to be near you.
Okay, well, maybe then maybe you could do me a favor and see if they want to come on my show. You can come with them, because I really think that it would help a lot of people to understand, and Scholastic might be able to pick up some of these people because they are good. I mean, like you're saying, they are really good. There's a lot of people that are really, really good children's authors that nobody is hearing about.
Mm-hmm. Yes, too many. There's so many, and every month there are new books being published, and I'm really fortunate to see so many of them pass over my desk. And there are some times when I read a book that just is so wonderful, and I want everyone to read it. And I know no one's going to see this book.
Well, but honestly, you can send it to me, and then I'll have them on the show. Are we really? Because I want children. We have children's authors all the time, and that's absolutely, Virginia and I, that's what we want to do. And we did it always for years at the beginning. We've been doing radio shows for 4 years, and Virginia's had the, Stories for Children magazine for years, but she doesn't do it right now. But we're planning on doing some other things because we know what happened here. So I'll be happy to take them. So just put them in contact with me, and we'll have them on a show.
I will do that, definitely.
Because I want that to happen, because I think it needs to happen. It's really important because I think that's you have to have kids reading, because those are the future adult readers, but they have to learn how to love books. And sometimes they're not learning that. They're playing games.
Oh.
Games are great, but books are good too. It should be a
better.
Yeah.
Well, I'm hoping with Middle Shelf Magazine that because it's free, schools can subscribe to it for free.
Yep.
And they have computers in almost all the classrooms now. And kids could go on there and just look through the magazines, look at the reviews, and read the interviews about the authors. I think it would be fabulous for schools across the country to pick it up.
Yep.
And then they'd be exposed to all sorts of different books that are out there.
See, but what Virginia and I are doing, we're trying to put on, which we are doing, and we're doing some launches, and we're also doing the pages where we can put on, like Lady Amber does, the tours, because I asked Lady Amber, I said, is anybody doing children's? And they don't, really. But I picked up a couple of people that had done children's that also do other genres. So, but that's what we're doing. So we're wanting to do that, too, because I think it's really important, because the cover reveals would be really good for children's books, just as they are for the adult romances and the, you know, paranormal. And so I think that that's why Virginia and I are doing this more with the World of Ink, because we know this is a part that's suffering, you know, and having you on is just saying that, yes, this is true, because it is happening.
And overall, the children's book sales and industry have actually exploded. I mean, they're doing really well in the marketplace, in the book marketplace. It's just that I think most of the success is going to a small percentage of the books that are being put out there. Because you look at the success of books like Harry Potter. Harry Potter, you know, yes, it's been more than a decade now since it came out, but it's still a bestseller. And the Percy Jackson
Because there's always kids coming up to read it. I mean, there's always a new, you know, crop of children coming up.
They're fantastic. So there's a lot of success in the children's book industry, but we just need to find a way to, shine the light on more books that are deserving of the attention.
Well, I think what you're doing is a good thing.
Time.
So I think that that'll be, but I think that we're willing to help. So I'm more than willing to help, because I think that I know this needs to be done. Because it really does, you know. And a lot of times, you know, people, I know they're thinking, you know, when they write romance books, because I went to a publisher and they thought that, well, they'll buy my, you know, I had written a romance, they'll also buy my children's book, but that's not going to happen. Because you think that that should happen, that the mothers would buy, but that isn't just the case, you know, and that is what's happening now. They're not buying them. They're buying a lot of books, but they're not also buying the books for their kids. So yeah, that's what we need, more people buying books. But they are expensive sometimes, too. That's the other thing.
Yes. And there is a large percentage of our population, particularly inner cities, where families can't afford to purchase books for their kids. And so they do rely heavily on the school libraries and the public libraries. And so that's another avenue that and they're, again, their shelf space is limited. But
when I go to schools, I'm sure you've done the same, don't you? I donate a few books for the school, you know.
Absolutely.
And
every
I think
time.
That that's, and this is one of the things that I'd like to, I would, see, this is how I feel. I would much prefer to donate to, you know, schools than do a lot of these events now, because the events, we're just giving free books to everybody. They're not buying them, but I much prefer to give them to children that would really benefit from this. And that there needs to be more of this, because that is where it starts, at the kids, you know. And I do think that a lot of these events now, everybody's giving everything free, and then nobody's buying their book and nobody's reading them. They're all giving reviews and they're not even reading the book. They just want the book. This is what's happening. And so I think the market, I'm hoping it goes back to some kind of normalcy. I don't know what normal is anymore, but you know,
or
something
this,
where
maybe this was the new normal.
Yeah, I know, and I hope not. I really do. I really hope not, because I much prefer to donate than to, you know, to donate to schools and, you know, charitable organizations rather than do it this way. Because these events, everybody's starting to beg everybody. And I don't understand why this is happening. And you probably get emails where they're saying, I want to trade my review for your review. Well, this is not really the way it was. I mean, I'm not saying that it should go back whatever it was, but it's kind of weird to just say, I'll do it if you'll do it, you know. Mm-hmm. It's like, where is...
It's better to put a book in a child's hand, one child's hand, have that child fall in love with your story and tell his friend about it and share it with his friend. That, to me, is far more valuable and far more satisfactory to me as an author.
Me too.
Than all of the reviews in the world. When I go to a school and I have a kid come up to me and say, I read your book.
I love your book.
I'm like, you just made my day.
It is true.
Or would they come up and ask for your autograph?
Yeah.
Oh, that's like, wow.
Yeah, somebody asked me, they go, like, could you call me if I give you my number? I go, look, I know, I said, I don't think your mother would want me to call you. So I said, here's my card, you know, and you can call me, but I don't think this is a good idea for you to give me your phone number. So,
yeah.
You know, that's, you know, but they are so interested, and I think that, you know, I think that adult authors and, you know, other authors, even paranormal, everybody, you have no idea when a kid comes up to you and said they read your book and they love it and they read it. Sometimes the mothers say, oh, I read it every night because he wants me to read, you know how they are. They want you to read it every night. Okay. And so I think that it's so exciting. I mean, and that's what we need to have. One of my fears is what I see is that people are writing books, but they're not that happy that they wrote a book. To me, like when I first had my book published, it was self-published at iUniverse, I was really happy, okay? And then
yeah.
When I had somebody that would publish for me, she was a self-publisher, Fideli, and did my children's book, and I went, oh, my God, I never thought I would see my children's books out there because it's so hard to get. And being an agent even, I couldn't get people's books published. And I'm thinking, they should be happier. Because with all of the internet, everything that's happening, people are published. I mean, it's good and bad, but it's such a good feeling to know that your book is out there finally and not in a drawer.
Yeah, definitely. And it takes years to write it, so, you know, it feels good to get it out there.
I think so. You know, and I'm hoping it will change. You know, that's why, you know, it's good to hear what some of the plans that you have, you know, Larissa, on what you're doing. Because I think it's a great plan.
Yeah.
And I
wish I could take credit for the idea. I actually, the person behind it is Margaret Brown, who is the owner of Shelf Media Group, and they publish three different magazines. And
Margaret
she
Brown
had this wonderful vision. Margaret
Shelf
Brown
Media.
And
it's called, what is it called?
Shelf Media Group.
Okay.
And their first magazine is a magazine called. Oh, my mind just went blank.
Send me the link and I'll put it out. Okay.
Is it Shelf Unbound?
Thank you, Shelf Unbound. I don't know what happened to my mind. Shelf Unbound, and that's a book review magazine also, but they review specifically self-published and indie-published books.
Yay.
And
Yay.
Then she also does an art magazine, about a fine art magazine, and then ours. So she really had this vision of doing a children's book magazine. So my hat's off to her for coming up with the idea and for believing in it and putting me in charge because I love it.
because that's so exciting. I mean, these are really some good things because I do know several people that have radio shows and they're looking for guests with art and, you know, an artist. J.D. Holiday does a show. She's with the Red River and with art and books, with children's books. So I think that, you know, if we can start getting some of these people on that are trying to get this market changed, this is a great thing, you know. And I'm always happy to do that because I think this is a market that is suffering because it just went all of a, you know, right to the romance and paranormal and forgot about the children's. So being in all the markets, I'm in all the markets. I do screenplays. So I know, you know, which are, and I do feel bad about that because I do think that stopped, you know, because I see a lot of people that, over the last 4 years that are not writing anymore. And that's a shame. I don't want people to stop writing. That's why one of the things, you know, people say, I don't take on clients, but I'm thinking this can help them more than me being an agent because they can start doing things on their own that aren't that expensive because it's a lot different now. Like even maybe 6 years ago, it was very expensive to publish a children's book. Well, it's not now because, you know, and I had – Fideli did mine, but then I also, Kelly Abel from Selecta Graphics, she worked with me on my new book, my Isabella Pimpinella Magic Potion, and we changed all the pictures because I had done it 7 years ago. And so, and she, in Selecta Graphics, now learned how to do children's books. And so that's a source that we have that we didn't have before. So, and I got the paperback, and it looks great. Okay, so there's creative space, you know, right, creative space, and that's the thing. There are people now that can help authors, and so many people have children's books stuck in their drawers because they just throw them in a drawer and they never look at them. So maybe they should get them out and see what's going on here.
Absolutely.
But with the help that you're doing.
I don't think I can stop writing because I'm addicted to writing.
Yeah. I've been writing it
never got out there.
Yeah, well, that's the whole thing, but now they can, and that's a good thing. You can get, you know, but children's market, it was really hard before, you know, and it's getting easier, and now, you know, with Kelly helping me get, I picked out, some of the pictures, and I did the pictures, and we got it all together. So, because it isn't that easy, a lot of people haven't wanted to try it. There's a lot of publishers, but they don't do children's, publishers. And that's a market. That's one of the things why this all happened. But now I'm looking for people and things that will work, because I think they're, we have to put this back out again. Because I'm sad. I really feel bad when they just stopped.
Well, the interesting thing is it's easier to publish. And you can go through CreateSpace and get those children's books out there. But it's still hard to promote and get them into the children's hands.
Yes.
So even though you can get your book out, into the publishing world, it's getting them into the children's hands. That's the hard part.
But what I try to do is now find, because I do try a lot of things. I try a lot of the services, and most of them don't work. But, the cover reveals, I think they work with the adult books, and also, small things like the tweeting and, because we have people that I send people to now because people need to be tweeting and on Facebook, and if they don't want, they can spend a certain amount, not a lot of money, but they can get PR for very inexpensive now and get them out somewhere. You have to start someplace, and it's overwhelming to most people it's overwhelming to even myself because there's so many things. Every time I find one thing, then I go the next thing. So I think some days I say, I'm going to just do this, and I go on, and all of a sudden I find myself somewhere else where I didn't even think I was going to be. And a way to promote, because how many sites there are. Oh, my God, there's a lot. But a lot of them don't work. That's the problem.
Mm-hmm.
You just got to keep trying or be crazy like me. I do try because I'm looking to get out there more, and you have to do that. And I think what you're saying is right. You just can't put the book out. It doesn't work.
Middle Grade Mania.
Yeah.
Middle Grade Mania is a blog I put together that basically it's not even a blog I don't post, but it's a listing of other blogs that regularly review middle grade books or interview middle grade authors. And
most
of them are blogs that, again, are not strictly middle grade. They mix middle grade in with a bunch of young adult books. But there are some that do mostly middle grade.
Hasn't it changed? It changed the age group a little sometimes with the young adult?
Young adult books tend to be ages 14 and up.
Yeah.
And middle grade books are either 8 to 12 or 10 to 14. This kind of depends on how intense the subject matter is.
Yeah, I know which is difficult a lot of times to figure, to get that reader in the right market. Because some of them have advanced a lot, and maybe they don't even belong in some of the markets that they're in, but they're in it.
That's true. I'm in the process right now of weeding through Middle Grade Mania, and that's a completely different thing than the Middle Shelf magazine. The Middle Grade Mania was created a few years ago, and it's a directory. It's meant as a directory.
Well, that's a good idea.
Blogs.
This is things that people don't know about. So, whenever you have something like this, just send me an email with this on, and I'll put it out because this would really be a lot of help to a lot of people that don't know what to do with, or where their books belong or because it is very difficult. I think it is hard, even though it's middle grade, because sometimes, and even when the young adult now, what happened was a lot of the mothers were reading the young adult, and nobody planned on that.
That's true. A large percentage of readers and people who purchase young adult books are people like me and Doreen.
Yeah, right. No, that's
our
true.
Age,
because
we
changed.
I love it. I don't read adult books very much anymore because young adult books are so exciting. They're fast reads, but the subject matter and the stories are fantastic. So I kind of have given up reading grown-up books. Plus, a lot of grown-up books have material in there that I personally don't enjoy reading about.
Yeah.
I don't like foul language personally or excessive sex. I don't want to read that. So I have turned to books for younger kids because a lot of times they're clean not all of them, but a lot of times they are, mm-hmm. and I can read it, enjoy the story, and not fill my head with stuff I don't want.
Yeah.
Well, no,
and I write that
I
way,
think
too,
that's true.
You know.
Well, listen, I wrote a romance book, and I've said this many times on the air. I did add some words that I will not be adding again, even though my characters, they love the character Virginia Templeton, but I will not, some of the words, they just don't mean anything in the book. They like the character, but the words don't matter. And I think that a lot of times people are putting in certain words just to think because your audience wants them. Not because
that's
they even
true.
Need to be in the story, because after doing it, I realize they don't need to be in the story. I could have done this book the same way and taken out some of the books, which I may one day do, because I'm always, people say, why are you apologizing? I'm not apologizing for my book. I did what I did, but I feel after doing it, it's a three-story book, and it's a novella kind of, but it's just in three stories collection. But I do feel after doing it, now I can say that I don't think I need it. But if I didn't do it, I wouldn't have known that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when
I have a lot
a
of
book,
romance writers on.
Yep. When I'm reading a book and I come across a curse word or something that's very violent, it pulls me out of the story. It makes me kind of flinch. And I don't like that. I like to stay in the story. I like things to run smoothly as I'm reading.
Right. And see, the reason I did it, because I had a screenplay with this character, Virginia Templeton, and this is how she talked. You know, I didn't make it up because, you know, it wasn't like I added it. She is this way, and that's what people like about
her. And you're writing
her.
For adults, which is
Yes, I did.
Experience.
And but I wanted to see how it was. I never added some of the words that I did. But now that I added it, I know that I don't think I'll do it again because I don't think I need it. I don't think I'll ever have another character like her because she was just so intense it was necessary. But not all of the words. So I didn't just, like, throw them in or, you know, this is you know, how she is because I wrote her 12 years ago, you know, or so in a screenplay. And it was different. But and I had trouble because I went under a man's name at that time because I didn't want to put a female in there. I thought, oh, the man, it's easier for a man to do this than me. And it was hard for me. And it's still, after doing it, I don't think I'll do it again. I can write a romance, and there could be sex in it, but I won't add some of the words that I did because I don't really, and I would not have known that had I not done the book.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I guess I learned myself. You know, you learn. And you're right, there are a lot of readers that don't want to read that. And there are that do, and there are that do. That's why I have everybody
and
on my show.
Exactly. Exactly. And you know, there's books for everybody.
Yeah, I have
I
every guest.
Choose.
On my show, I have everything goes. It really does. Any guest.
Exactly.
And, you know, and I love the guests I have because I've been doing shows for 4 years. So I wanted to try it. But I think that a lot of times, you know, people that think they shouldn't read it, maybe they'd enjoy it then. So I'm trying to expose everybody to everything. You know, and it's up to them to make the decision.
Exactly. It's up to each reader, each person to decide what they want to read. And I guess what we really are talking here is how to make sure everybody does see what's out there, right?
Yes. And I want
to make
a lot
sure
of your
all
links.
The books get.
And I will be looking up a lot of your links because I really do think that some of the things that you've said, I don't know about either. And I do think it's important because there is nobody out there really doing this right now, telling everybody that this is for young adults, because you can't just go on Amazon and figure it out. It doesn't work because some people are putting books in a different genre just to get a better sale.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So
well,
you don't know.
There's books that are cross genres. I was listening to an agent talk once, and he said he really hates when people send him a query that says, "My book is a fantasy mystery thriller."
Yeah, I know.
He said, just say it's a novel.
Like, pick one.
You know, there's just so much.
But, you know, they're
so
used to doing that. Exactly. And, see, that's what happened with the novels on – that's what's happening on Amazon because you don't know where to put it. If it's a thriller and there's romance in it and it's a mystery, so what do? You might put it in the wrong category because you did.
Yep.
You know, and that's the problem. People aren't knowing where they should put their books sometimes.
That's why I like children's books.
Yeah. Well, you know, you're right about, because when I started to redo this, I go, this is such fun. I mean, I'm just really a good time, like when I wrote it. And my goal right now is I can't worry about selling. I just mentally, it's ridiculous already. So I'm just wanting to have good shows and write and have fun. And that's why my show tomorrow night is going to be, we're going to have fun. We're going to talk about different issues, but in a fun way. Because, you know, there are things that people are interested in, and if somebody does write a book about it, it brings out the discussion. So that's a good thing. But, you know, there's so much out there. And on my show, I do discuss a lot of it because, you know, everybody changes a little, you know, each time, you know. And so probably not as much as I do. So I'm working on that. I know it's an issue for me, you know. But I do think it is hard when people go into Amazon and they don't know where to look and they don't get it. But I've noticed, though, now that some people in the description are writing, you know, several things, which I started to do, too, which you can't get in any other place. So if you put it in the description, like I know that, like Larissa, you wrote in, you know, some crazy awesome things. And I thought that's kind of a good thing to do because this is a quick way of getting people to know who you are, what you like.
Yes.
But
yes.
You don't know where else to put it. So this is, it's kind of like it's in your description, you know, it's in about you on under in Amazon, but it's telling people in a short way things they might like to know about you, because people do know that they don't understand sometimes, and they would like to know what somebody's like.
Yes. Well, and, yeah, we create our bios. But I think even those, it really boils down to is the story interesting? Because kids, of course, they're very interested in the author, but they're more interested in the story. So, so we put the, you know, write the little summaries of the books. Which, by the way, for me, it was the hardest thing to write. I would rather write a novel than write a summary of my book.
I'd rather be scrubbing really floors than do a log line or a synopsis. Anything.
Exactly.
Anything. It's so hard. It's impossible. It really is.
It is. So it's nice to have a publisher, which is one reason why I haven't self-published yet, because that intimidates me to do all the stuff that a publisher does for me. I don't know how to do that yet. I will learn, because I eventually would love to try that.
Well,
it's nice
to
have somebody else help me.
It's very freeing, but it's very hard. And the problem with it is when you do a book with a publisher, you're fine. But when you do it yourself, you can change. You can change the cover. You can do this. And that's the bad part, because you'd find yourself changing things a lot more than you need to. You know, I'm an example of that, you know, because you can change a lot. And sometimes it's not for the best. You know, you should just be happy with what you've written and just move on. And I move on, but I move on and then I go back. I move on, go back, move on. You know, this is how I am. All right, this has been really fun, ladies. You know, because I don't get to talk about this. That's why I've been having a lot more of these shows, because I found out a lot of things that will help. And I at World of Ink, we will definitely be happy to take whatever you have of information and put it out there, because Virginia and I both know this is a necessary thing. And you've got some good ideas here. I do like that, you know, the middle grade media thing. That's really good. So people will understand. Oh, yeah. That's very good. Is there anything that I missed that you want to talk about? You probably should give all the... Yes, I want you to do that. Go back with some of your websites and about your book coming out.
Yeah, I think I just, you know, just remind everybody that Contact is coming out next week. Contact, in a nutshell, really quick, is a thriller about a girl who, when she touches people, she uploads their psyche into hers, and she has no idea how this started or what's happening to her. And her mother ends up in a coma, and because of this strange ability she's developed, she figures out that this coma was not an accident. And she knows kind of what happened, but proving who's responsible could get her killed. So it's a thriller, high-stakes thriller, and I'm really excited about it. Hollowed Ink is fantastic. My two fantasy books for kids were published last year and the year before, The Rock of Ivanor and Last Enchanter. So if you have kids who really love dragons and sword fighting and that kind of thing, those books might
there
be
There are
good,
a lot of kids who like that.
Avenue.
You know, I mean, that does not change. That is huge.
Absolutely. I know I love fantasy.
You do?
And
well, that's why you're writing it.
I
definitely want to have you on again. You know, I'm going to, you know, with your new book, the paranormal, it's kind of paranormal, right? And that's how you're saying it, is a paranormal.
It's got a little bit of paranormal in it.
Yeah, because maybe Willow Cross does those shows, right? Yeah. Well, because I think that people are very interested in that. You know, a lot of movies are like that now too. They're trying to show different things. You know, to young people. You know, and I like movies. I love movies. You know, I do. I love them. And I don't have as much time to read as I would like. You know, and that's one of the problems. How much time do we all have? This is the problem.
Yeah.
We can't fit everything in, but you seem to. All right, Doreen?
Yes.
Okay. Send me some things also that you want me to have, and I'll be happy to put them out. But tell us, you know, your website.
Let me tell you about my books.
Yes. I want you to do that because I want to put out some information about them.
Well,
I wasn't sure you were coming or not, so that's why I will re-put it, you know, put it out there now. It's not too late because our shows are on demand. So right after it's over, people can get it. So you can put out the link again, and they'll hear the show.
Okay. Well,
Go ahead.
My series is called Cleopatra's Legacy, and the first two books have been published. The overall concept is that Cleopatra, before she committed suicide, had a necklace with 5 gemstones, and each of the gems had a different magical power. And she placed that into the hands of one of her servants to get it away from the Romans. And my stories take place in the modern day in different places. The first one's in Ohio. The second one's in New Orleans. The third one that hopefully is coming out soon will be in Paris, France.
These children have got
these gemstones. And there is...
Also, it's going to take them to where the gemstones are.
Well, they discover the gemstones.
Oh,
and they inherit the magic powers. However, there is a cult that is after these gemstones. And so in each book, we have a new character with new powers, but we have the same cult that's chasing them through all the books. And the first
I think kids like those. I think that my Isabella, you know, it's a little girl with little powers, you know, powers of flying, you know. So I think kids like that. That never changes. Those are, you know, kids. Certain things about kids, you know, kids are probably the same as they were, you know, you start out one way. You don't, until you get older, you don't change as much. But when they like the same kind of things when they're little. To them, it's new.
Kids really like to see stories that take place in the modern day, stories that involve regular kids, and that suddenly get magic powers. Because I think that's like a fantasy that we all have, that somehow our normal lives can change and suddenly we'll be able to have magic powers.
Yeah, that's what mine is like, too. I do think kids like that. I really do. I don't think that changes over the years. It's good to see that you've written it.
I have my author website is just DoreenWhite.com. And then my blog where I do all the reviews is DoreenWhiteBlogspot.com. So I've kind of branded my name.
Well, anytime you
put it into Google or Goodreads,
you know how important that is? You know how important that is? And see, that's true, though. And Larissa, your name, because it's three names, like mine is Marcia Casper Cook, that's why you get out there. I mean, Casper is my maiden name, and I just did it at first for just to do it. And now I have to keep using it because...
That's what I do, too.
Yeah, because otherwise if I don't use it, it'll go into Marcia Cook, and there's a lot of different Marcia Cooks.
Exactly. And I forgot, now I heard Doreen tell her Blogspot, I probably should mention mine. My blog is just Larissa Reyes at .blogspot.com, and that's spelled Laurisa, and then Reyes, Reyes, .blogspot.com. I'm not going to bother giving you my email, my website, it's really long.
Send me, both of you, send me your links.
We'll send you
the link. I'll put all of your links and, you know, send me pictures, whatever you want. I'll put it out because I didn't finish what I did on my blog, because I wasn't sure who's coming on today or not. I knew I'd be here. It's summertime. It's different. It is different. Very different.
Yeah.
You know, so I, you know, yes, and I will absolutely have you both on again. And, you know, certainly, Doreen, you know, when you have a book, just let me know and you can come out.
Okay.
And you can come on and, you know, plug it and we'll talk about that. Because we are getting more into this. You know, we talked about a lot of things today, but we are really doing this and where we'll be actually maybe reading, you know, I've done this with the adults where they can read a little from the books. So I think that, you know, because I think that sometimes just because we say it's a good book doesn't mean anything. If they hear it, they might say, like, oh, this is a good book, you know. because you have to do what you have to do. And I think there are many ways to do this, and I'm very interested to find all of your, you know, the sites that you're on and to get them out there, because I know we don't know these, and and we do a lot of things, but I haven't heard of some of these, so this is good.
Well, thank you.
Well, thank you.
And thank you both for being on, and I enjoyed it. And so have a good day. Now your kids are coming home from school. It's
last
over.
Last day of school up here,
right? Well, you're happy now. You'll be tired in a few weeks.
Well, I'm happy for the beginning of summer because then I get to sleep in and don't have to wake the kids up.
Right.
But by
right.
the end of summer, I'm ready to
When do they go back? Do they go back in August or September?
Up here in Washington, they go back Labor Day, right after Labor Day. So
What about you?
California, it's mid-August. Mid-August for California.
Mid-August?
Which is way too early.
Yeah. See, it's really strange how all the areas, like Chicago schools are just out now, but the suburbs have been out before, you know, and some of the country, you know, some of the states have been out for several weeks.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think Virginia, that's why she's not doing shows. I think her children in Utah have been gone for two or three weeks already. They've been
gone. Utah got out earlier.
Yeah. So she's been busy. So I'm taking her days now. That's how I got to Monday. All right. So have a good week, and thank you both for being on. It was great. I got notes here, so that's a good thing.
Thank you, Marcia.
Nice
okay, thank you.
You.
All right, take
Bye-bye.
Care. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.